Who here is happy this morning? Happy. Can you tell me why you're happy this morning then? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody is alive. So I want to hear you shout if you're alive here this morning. Hallelujah. I need you to shout because this morning I have a very simple message, but very demanding message. And so if you don't quite like what I'm saying, please don't stone me. You know, in the olden days, when they didn't like what some of the disciples said, they stoned them. But thank God I've got a fire exit here. So if I see you guys coming, I'll just make you out there. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when man speaks, they say it's information, but when God speaks, it's revelation? And anytime God reveals something, it means there's something he wants you to change about your life. That is why he brings a revelation. So when man speaks, it's information, but when God speaks, it's a revelation. There's something in your life that he wants you to change. There's something, anytime God brings a revelation, he's expressing what he has in his heart for you to see. Hallelujah. Can we go to the book of Haggai? Haggai chapter 1. We'll see how many people read their Bibles. Haggai chapter 1. Should I give you 20 minutes to look for it? Haggai chapter 1. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. Haggai, I'll start from verse 2. It says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Not me, not anybody else, but this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourself to be living in your paneled houses while the house remains a ruin? Now, is it a time yet? Next verse, please. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now, this is it. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. Consider your ways. Think about your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. What you do, how you do it, where you do it, when you do it, who you do it, why you do it. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful, as a parent, give careful thought to your ways. How you bring your children up. Even as a spouse, give careful thought to your ways. How do you speak to him? How do you speak to her? Give careful thought to your ways. Even as a friend, you know, you see your friend calling you and you just turn the phone aside. And a minute later, they text you to say, but I just saw you online on WhatsApp. Give careful thought to your ways. Why are you calling my name? Like, I know people do that. And so God is saying, give careful thought to your ways. Consider your ways. Really think about your ways. Because maybe God knows that you can't change your life unless you change your ways. You can't change your life unless you change your ways. So it says, give careful thought to your ways. Next verse. Let's go to the next verse, please. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Next verse. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Next verse. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, this is what was happening. Now Israel had just come back from captivity. They had just come back from captivity and everything was in ruin. So they were having to rebuild their lives. They were having to rebuild their lives. They were having to rebuild their lives, their families, their houses. Everything was in ruins. And it's fine to do that. God understands that because we need to build our lives. We need to eat. We need to sleep. The days of manna are over. It's not on the menu anymore. So if you sit at home thinking manna will drop, it won't happen. You need to work. And so these guys were trying to build their lives again. They were busy building their lives. But then it got to a point in their lives where everything wasn't going the way they should. They were sowing so much and getting so little. They were eating and were still not being full. They were drinking, they were still thirsty. They would put money in their purses, and it was as though there was holes in the purses. All the money would go away. It's equivalent to putting your money in the bank, and even before the month ends, everything is gone. And so God is saying, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. And I said to God, and the problem with this was, God's problem was because they didn't put him first. That was his problem. You didn't put me first, and that's why you're going through what you're going through. And I remember one, just like I'm talking to you guys, I said to God, God, but why do we even have to put you first? Because it's not like you need us. There's nothing that we can do to God that can change who God is. He's sovereign. There's absolutely nothing we can do that can change him. He says, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I wouldn't. There's nothing. So I said, God, why? Why is it that we have to do? I said, no, you can do whatever you want. I work so hard for my money. Why should I give it to you? Why? There's 52 weeks. Why can't I just take one Sunday out of the 52 weeks and sit home and watch football? Why? Why? It wouldn't change who you are. I said, you're right. It wouldn't change who I am, but it will change who you are. It will change who you are. You remember in the garden when God first created man? All this wasn't an issue when God first created man. All these things wasn't an issue. It wasn't until man sinned. The moment man sinned, authority was transferred from us to the devil. And that's why the Bible says he's the prince of this world. And calls him the god of this world. So any process you do here on earth that does not involve God automatically places everything under the influence of the enemy. Any process. Because this world is governed by God. They see that God and the devil. There's no black and white. There's no gray area. You see that you are for God or for the devil. Any process that does not involve God automatically falls under the influence of the enemy. Now, what would you rather be? Be under the influence of the devil or under the influence of God? And that's why God is saying, put me first. Put me first. That way, anything that comes against you will have to go through me first. Will have to go through me first before it goes through the thing. Now listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. And that's the reason. And so I find it very interesting that God will go out of his way just to stop the rain so that people will come to their senses. And so there are times that God will let you go through seasons of frustration just so you come to your senses instead of letting you build your whole life on the wrong foundation. He made him break up with you and he made her leave you. God has a reason. There are times some people go, unless you're going through crisis, you never see them in church. But this is God's way of saying, I want you to come to your senses. I want you to consider your ways. I want you to consider the direction in which you're going. Because normally when things like that happen, automatically we blame the devil. We blame. We need to get to a stage where we should know what is from us, what's from the devil, and what is from God. Because there are times things happen, if that happened to me, I say, I'll be blaming the devil. I'll be binding and cursing the devil because the rains are not coming. But for all you know, it's God because he wants you to come to your senses. He'd rather let you go through a season of frustration, just a season of frustration, than to let you build your whole life on the wrong foundation. And the problem with building your life on the wrong foundation is this. Anything that is built on the wrong foundation will collapse eventually. It would collapse. And God doesn't want that. I'm trying, believe me. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. And that's why he has to go through all this. And even he's had to explain why he's doing that. He says, do you know why that is? God doesn't have to explain to anybody anything. He's sovereign. Even children, when they're 18, they'll tell you, no, you can tell me what to do. I'm 18, I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. Even children do that. So God doesn't have to explain anything. But he's got your interest at heart. Really, he's got your interest at heart. Listen, whether you put him first or not, heaven, most people will go to heaven. But if you don't consider your ways, it's the quality of life you spend here that will be affected. It's the quality of life that you spend here. And I find it interesting that God is concerned about your quality of life here on earth, even before he goes to heaven. And so as a result, he says, I blew them away just so that you would come to your senses. You would come to your senses. Do you know what Satan said? Satan said to God, have you not put a hedge around Job? Have you not put a hedge around Job? Why do you think God put a hedge around Job? How can we go to Job chapter 1, please? Job chapter 1. Show you something quickly. The book of Job chapter 1. Verse It says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now watch this. There's no way you can fear God without first putting God first. There's no way you fear God without putting God first. It says, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. You see, he never let anything to chance. Never ever did. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. He did that regularly. He never let anything to chance. He made sure in every area of his life, he put God first. Even on behalf of his children, he had to do this. Is there any surprise that God made a hedge around him? It's no surprise at all. It's no surprise at all that God made a hedge around him. So if you don't put God first, you give the devil the opportunity to mess with your life. And that's the point God is trying to make. This is not a message of condemnation. No, God has your interest at heart. If you don't put me first, you open yourself to the devil. Your marriage, your finances, your job, everything. You need to learn to put me first. That way, if the devil wants to hate you, which he will try anyway, the devil never gives up. He will try. But they have to go through me first before they go. And if God is for you, like I said, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Nobody. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see, these people, God was, it wasn't because they didn't want to do it. They were just busy. They never said, we wouldn't do it. No, said, we are busy. We are busy doing this. We are busy doing that. Eventually, we'll come around to it. Now, the problem with this was, they had just come back from exile. It's been 20 years. 20 years since they said they were going to build the house of God. And 20 years have come, and they still haven't built it. The interesting thing is, they had already laid the foundation to build the house of God. They had the foundation in place. But 20 years, it was still on foundation level. Nothing had happened. I remember first, years ago, when you become a Christian, you go through this thing called foundation classes. And they give you scriptures and things just to build you up. So can you imagine if after 20 years, you're still on that foundation level? There's something wrong. There's something wrong. After 20 years, you can't say you're busy. You see, when I ask you to do something for me right now, and you tell me you're busy, is he really busy? Does it really, when he says he's busy, does it really reflect his schedule? No, maybe. Is the spot I hold in his list of priorities. That's really what it is. It's the spot I hold in his list of priorities. So if after 20 years he still hasn't done what I asked him to do, then I know probably on his priorities I'm number 1,000. But that's how God feels. That's how he feels. It's been 20 years and you've been saying, I'll do this. 20 years, you still haven't done it. And you wonder what is happening. You know, the main reason why they went into captivity in the first place is because they neglected God. And that's why they went into captivity. Now they are back. And then it seems like the process wants to start again. God said, no, I love you too much to leave you the same way you are. I'll crush this. You see, your priorities is not what you say you do. Your priorities are revealed by how you live your life. Yes. How you live your life. You can tell. Clap for Jesus, not me. It's how you live your life. You can tell. Yeah. That's what it is. And so it was Job's regular custom that he would put God first at all times. Can we go to Numbers chapter 22? Just want to show you something interesting. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. God is good. You guys are not going to stone me, are you? Hallelujah. Not yet. Okay. Let me see. The door is... Okay. I can run. I just want Numbers chapter 22. I want to start from verse 7. Numbers chapter 20, it says, the elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. Let me just give you a background to this. Israel, they were leaving Egypt into the promised land. Then somewhere along the line, they had to come around Moab. When the king of Moab heard that they had come there, he was scared because he had seen what God had done for them and through them. And he thought, these guys might destroy me. So let me take action. So what he did was he sent elders or an envoy or a delegation to this prophet called Balaam to come and curse Israel so that he can defeat them. And so this way it starts. It says, the elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them a fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak was the king, had said. Next verse. Spend the night here, Balaam said to them, that's the prophet, and I will report back to you with the answer the Lord gives me. So the Moabites officials stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I'll be able to fight them and drive them away. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. How many know that if God blesses you, nobody can curse you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in condemnation, you shall refute. Next verse. The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's official, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. Now, what is God's position here? He has refused to let Balaam go and curse the people. Now, everybody know God's position on this situation. Okay, next verse. Keep that in mind. So the Moabite officials returned to Balak, that's the king, and said to Balaam, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak sent other officials, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. The devil never gives up. If he fails, you keep trying. They came to Balaam and said, this is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me. But Balaam answered them, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Next verse. Now I'll spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. They come back again and they say to Balaam, come again with us. He said, look, I've told you already. This is God's position on the situation. He's asked me not to go. And at times in life, you know what God's position is concerning a thing. And then you find so many Christians say, I'm still praying about it. I'm praying about what? He's made it clear, very clear, do not go. It's, I'm praying. And you know God's situation. He says, what has darkness got to do with light? You meet somebody that like you, but you know they're not quite where they should be. You know what God's word says concerning that. Say, oh, I'm praying about him. I'm praying about her. When you clearly know what God says, when you clearly, you're just procrastinating things. It says, now spend the night here. So watch this. Now spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but only do what I tell you. Next verse. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went. But God was very angry. Why was God angry? Why was God angry? Exactly. But then he's doing it again. So when God speaks, when you know what God's will is, his mind is concerning a situation, don't just assume that just because you're praying about it, eventually you're going to change God's mind. He's made it clear to you. And even though he said go, you thought, oh, I heard God's voice. He said, I should go. Why is he angry with me? And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere with this. Next verse. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. Next verse. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Now Balaam starts beating the donkey out of frustration because he wants to go to a direction, but donkey wouldn't go in that direction. He goes this way, he beats the donkey, and donkey goes into another direction, and he beats the donkey because it's not the direction where he wants to go. It's not the direction where he... And he keeps beating the donkey. But clearly God had told him that, look, this is not where I want you to go. I don't want you to go in that direction, but you are disobeying and going. And now easily you will think that it's the devil. It's the devil. But it's not the devil. At times, God will bring a season of frustration in your life so that you come to your senses instead of letting you build your whole life on the wrong foundation. Now watch this. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no more room, where there's no room to turn, either to the right or left. So now God, from trying to stop you, completely blocks you. So you sow and you sow and you get a little harvest. You eat for no food. You drink and you drink and you drink and you're still thirsty. You get the money, you put it in your account and everything is gone. Because all this time, God is trying to get your attention, but you're still not getting it. And now watch this. Next verse. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Next verse. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? What have I done to you?" Do you know your situation speaks to you all the time? Your situation speaks all the time. Most people ignore. The donkey opened his mouth. Two times in the scripture that I've seen animals talk, and two of them wasn't good. In the garden when the snake spoke, and this. Two of them was not good. He says, you have made a fool of me. This is Balaam speaking. Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I will kill you right now." Now, I'm not sure if it's me or Balaam was on crack. If you're on a donkey, you're on a donkey and a donkey speaks, I will leave this mic and run. This guy, he answers like nothing has happened. Nothing. He's not surprised. Nothing. He says, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I will kill you right now." Next verse. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I ever been in the habit of doing this to you?" And then he answers again, "No." The guy is on crack, believe me. He says, "No." So listen, the donkey said, "Look, you've had me all this time, all these years you've had me. Have I ever done anything like this, ever?" And then Balaam says, "No, you've never ever done anything like this. So why are you reacting like that, Balaam?" You see, in life, when you're living your life and things happen that are not normal, don't carry on as if everything is normal. Stop and think and ask. Consider your ways. "Lord, why is this happening?" You see a donkey talking and you carry on as if everything is normal. Stop. Say, "God, what am I not doing right? What am I not doing? There's something not quite right here. I don't want to carry on as if everything is normal." Then that is when you need to begin to consider your ways. What you do, how you do it, where you do it, who you do it. Consider your ways. Because unless you change your ways, you won't change your life. So the people, they sow, and still nothing comes up. Even they get something very small from their harvest. That means the next harvest will be affected because you sowed little. And they are complaining, "God," they live in a constant state of frustration because we keep sowing and sowing and nothing is coming out. And then they start blaming God. "What is this lack of provision? What is this lack of supply? And God is saying, "Look, what you think is a lack of provision and a lack of supply, it's not a lack of provision or a lack of supply. It's an absence of priority. And so you need to reorder your priorities. You need to reorder your priorities completely." Now, I don't know what kind of priorities you have this year. You know, there are probably things that you've been doing the whole year and you're not seeing any results like we saw last week. You know, you fish all night and you get nothing. You need to reorder your priorities. Maybe you're here, you're a faithful person to God, and I pray that if you're faithful in all your ways to God, may he give you a double portion like he did for Job. But if you're here and you know that you haven't quite got your priorities right, then you need to put your priorities right. Because you can't change your life unless you change your priorities. You can't. It's as simple as that. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, he said to them, "Go and tell them in 40 days, I'm going to destroy this whole place, this whole city, within 40 days, if you don't change your ways." Within 40 days. And the king of Nineveh called a fast. Every single one of them, even the animals fasted. Even the animals fasted. And God turned the situation around. They got their priorities right this time. And God turned the situation around. You can't change your life until you change your priorities. But you need to consider your ways. Really consider your ways. Think about your ways. Think about your ways. God is not out there to get you. He wants your interest at heart. He really does. He really, really does. And that's why maybe the whole year, things are not going the way they should. And don't you stop for a minute and think, why? Why is this area of my life not working? Why is this area of my life not working? Don't you think about it? God says, consider your ways. Consider it. Consider it. What you think is a lack of provision, maybe it's an absence of priority. It's an absence of priority. Hallelujah. And maybe you're here, like I said, you're faithful to God, but then you need to reevaluate your life again and see which areas of your life you need to reorder. You need to reorder because that's where your breakthrough is. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that anytime you bring your word, it's your heart behind the word that counts. You never, oh God, come and condemn. No, that is not it at all. He could easily have kept quiet over this and not say anything and just let the people suffer. But he says, do you wonder why you're going through what you're going through? Do you know why this lack of provision? Because you haven't got your priorities right. But if you learn to put me first in everything you do, then I'll be having to contend with things that come against you. You wouldn't have to do that yourself. You know the areas in your life that you have to reorder. I don't know, but you know. I just believe, I just said, when man speaks, it's information. But when God does it, it's a revelation. And anytime God brings a revelation, it means he's ready to bring about change. If you were here for the half night on Friday, the presence of God was so powerful. You could see, almost palpable, you could see that God was ready to bring about change in the lives of people. You could tell that God was ready to bring about change. But we need to get your priorities right first, because it's never going to let you build on the wrong foundation, because every foundation will be tested. And if yours is built on a weak one, it would collapse. God wouldn't want that for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, God. And we will repent, oh Lord, of anything that we've done, oh God, that is out of synchronization with your ways, oh God. Father, anything that we've done that we've put first before you, Lord, we repent of it this morning, oh God. The fact that, Father, you've revealed this to us means you want to take us to the next level, Lord. And I thank you for this, Father. Father, I pray that, oh God, as they set their hearts and their minds, God, you reveal to them areas in their lives, oh God, that they need to prioritize, oh God. Reorder things in their life, oh God, to get them back on course, oh God, to where you want them to be. I thank you so much, oh God, for the work you've started in them. And I give you all the glory and all the praise for this. In Jesus' name.